Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows the song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
Over this way, so
guess should be happy, got rid of the heat. Now it's time to get cold again. And I was thinking about those hurricane victims down there. You know, pretty bad disaster, you know. Lost a lot of homes and all of that. But, you know, we have that kind of stuff out here in the middle of winter, hurricane winds and all that. We have houses blown over, but it don't come on the news or nothing. You know, it ain't a big thing. It only comes on the news if you're rich and you lose big yachts and fancy houses on the beachfront and all that. And you're crying while I shoot you, then they all come. They all come, you know. You know, pity you, you know. Anyway, we'll probably get into some of that a little bit here. But in the meantime, you know, wanted to give shouts out to all of those who tune in to us around the world and, you know, just we always have people. Red Haircrow last week was tuned in from Berlin. We get, you know, Mestinchula and Frankfurt and, you know, people even in Russia, all over tune in to us. Greece, you know. It's kind of a couple times we had call-ins from Iran, you know. That's kind of funny because they told them, what are you doing over there in Iran? They're working on a nuclear facility. Oops. I guess we were first to know their secret, having working on a nuke facility over there in Iran, you know. You know, so it's kind of interesting sometimes our radio show because, you know, we just get people calling in from anywhere, all over, you know, sometimes Australia, New Zealand, and New Caledonia. So it's kind of, you know, we don't have thousands and thousands of listeners like a radio station on, like I manage a radio station right here in St. Francis, and I worked in development for QD Radio, and we have, you know, 100,000-watt radio station with, you know, 20, 30,000 listeners or more, you know, because it reaches out that far. Over here, we don't get that much, but our listeners are from all over the world, and they listen to us, you know. So I try to be on my best behavior and watch out using the F word and different things like that, you know. It's funny, though, most people that don't talk English and they learn English, the first word they learn how to, you know, the most common word they is you, man, you know. You know, but anyway, you know, we're Lakotas, indigenous people, and that English language is, like Tanshi calls it, bastard language, you know. I don't like to represent ourselves in vulgar ways, you know, because we're not vulgar people. You know, we have class, you know. And, you know, I notice, though, when an indigenous person has too much Spaniard blood or a British, French blood, you know, they're wicked people, you know. And they're killing babies and killing women, you know, just like this over there, this guy kidnapped a whole family and killed a little baby, you know. And, you know, Mexican guy, you know, they give everybody a bad name because it makes us look bad when indigenous people don't have that in us. No matter how much we hate, we can't kill babies. Really. You know? Probably if we killed babies, maybe they wouldn't be over here. You know, but we didn't do that. You know, we're soft-hearted people. And that's why the invasive species is over here, because we're soft-hearted people. You know? And being soft-hearted people put us in the situation we are in now. But, you know, we could cover that a little bit too, you know, and going through some things and talk about a lot of my thing since doing this radio show or podcast or whatever you want to call it, you know, call it what you want, you know, I don't care, but is to allow the outside world to listen to real people. These other indigenous radio shows, they quit being indigenous. First of all, they don't talk their language. They talk English. And when they talk English, they want to sound like a white guy. Oh, that situation, my father, you know, my homeland, you know, they talk with this, you know, they don't have, they lost everything. They're more American. And that's something I want to talk about too, you know, because being American is a real bad hindrance to our people, you know. The more American we become, the more we get involved in their violence, in their crimes, in their drug addictions, in their alcoholism, in everything they do, you know. So, you know, we can talk about all these things. Right now, I want to, you know, get to Ushi here because this is an indigenous radio program, the American Indian Movement, and, you know, the real American Indian Movement. This is, we represent the entire American Indian Movement, not just the ones that are accepted with because they fit into the status over there. This is the American Indian Movement of all natives. We're the voice of the indigenous nations. South America, Central America, Central Eastern America, and all over. You know? So, oh, wait, hold it now. You guys are being heard. So we represent all the indigenous people and try to do that, you know, in an indigenous way. So here right now, I'm going to open the door for Tanashi Vember to take over and lead us. How, Tanashi?
Oh, Tanashi, can you hear me?
For sure, can you hear me? Definitely. Definitely.
Well, we'll see. We'll say a prayer and then we'll get started. So, you know, that's how the Lakota people have always been. You know, it's the prayer before everything. So anyway, we'll get. I'll say a prayer and we'll get started. We chose on each other to love a lot of Gashla. Extracted me that way, Oyon, Yotan Wakana, Wakanja Kilinat Kashla. Tona Maka, Elahuk, the Gilinna Kutukashla, and Tona Uk, the Yena, Yohila Kukashla, which he was in there, I had to keep Chui talking. Now, Kiwi Mamon Kahinat Kukashla, Ila Onwashton, Oyuk Pizalaj, and Kopila Tunka Echija. Now to extracted Tunkashla, Hoka Kijab Sejanish. Dakum, he come on such a little Kukashla.
I'm really proud to have Vember be with us, you know, not just because he's my relative and my brother as well. Being here, there, you know, they represent a lot to our people, and a real indigenous value for the entire indigenous nation that we have our own languages, we have our own way of living, and we prove it with this radio show and the American Indian Movement. If you look at some of the videos of the that you look on YouTube and see some of the begin and aim videos, Russell Means and all of them, they always started out with a prayer and drum and song. You know, we start this program off with the AIM song. Take off in Lakota prayer. And, you know, I encourage other people, if they have their own language, to participate. It ain't, you know, like some guys, so-called AIM people, were Nawezi. I guess Nawezi means, you know, like jealous. Because, you know, Tanashi speaks Lakota, and we say Lakota words, and they didn't like that because they don't have nothing. First of all, to tell you the truth, after it's all over and done with, they were fakes anyway. They didn't have no tribal connection. But all the people they're surrounded with think they did. They believe that baloney. You know, they didn't have tribal connection. One day they're Cheyenne. One day they're Apache. One day they're this. One day they're that. But they don't have no language. But I sure could talk to them in Spanish, you know. I mean, I know a little Spanish. So one guy, you know, I knew where he's from. So I talked to him in Spanish. I know he knew, you know, in the beginning, he liked it. But after he started realizing that I was slowly but surely pulling his pants down, well, I don't want to say that. I mean, pulling his covers off, you know. You know, they quit that, you know. You know. that Juan Blee's a sly guy. He's really pulling my pants off, and I don't even know it. But we have our own language, and I'm proud of it. I love it. It's something. And sometimes I like it because sometimes some women participate from other tribes, and they get on the show, and they talk in their language, Diné or whatever. It's beautiful, you know, when indigenous people talk their own language, you know. With us, you know, yeah, we're Lakota, so, you know, that's what you're going to hear coming out of here. And we're not trying to outdo nobody. It's just our nature, you know. It's just our nature of how we live, you know. So even those of us that maybe not so fluent, we still say Lakota. We say, you know, talk Lakota and a lot of things, and, you know, and it comes out normally with us, you know. We ain't trying to show off or nothing. It's just how we live all our life with our, you know, like me and my brother. He's on the line too, raised by Lakota speakers, you know, and living with our grandma. When we were young, they all spoke Lakota, and then when we went to California on relocation and all that, yeah, we lost a lot. But, you know, the thing is, you know, we're here, you know. We carry Chanupa, you know, we got our act together and everything, and Tahashi, you know, we all sung that together for years, and Tanashi's a leader, a spiritual leader, you know, and even in our ceremonies. So it's an honor to have him here and the wisdom that he offers, the wisdom of our way of life, you know. So it's a good thing, you know, and because when we say something, he understands what we mean. Like when I say, we're talking about, we talk to each other a lot, you know, all the time because we're relatives. So when we talk about we talk about the we talk about we talk a lot about our way of life, and you know, just like look at some guy over there in Merced killed a whole family of people from the Mideast, India or someplace, I don't know where at, but they lived in California. They had a trucking company, you know. I mean, he's mad, blah, 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 whatever the thing is. But what gets me is this guy went, he kidnapped the men, you know, tied them up, took them out, then went back and got the woman and the baby. And they humbly went with him. They didn't have no resistance. Then took them out in the field and killed them, even the baby. This is a guy, a person of color, maybe he calls himself Chicano or whatever. But, you know, they're indigenous. To me, when they do that stuff, they must have too much damn Spaniard in them. You know, Spaniards killed babies. And French and British killed babies. And these Americans are descendants of them. That's why they can do, they did that too, killed babies, throw them up and stabbed them with their bayonets and all that. You know, all them people. So when indigenous people are mixed with those other kinds of blood, they can do some wicked, pretty wicked stuff. And you know, I don't care. People can talk how they want and say, you know, we're racist or whatever. But that's a fact. I know one thing. They can call me racist all they want. But you know what? You give me a baby and I will play with him. You know, you give me a little baby and I'll play with them and I'll defend them and protect them with my life. Cortes, we do that.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that stuff. I mean, I might have been a badass when I was young. I might have, you know, but the whole thing is, I would never hurt no baby, hurt no child. It just ain't in us, you know. Back in the old days, when our people fought the Washita, the invasive species, they didn't kill the women and children. They just took them with them. And sometimes they, women could have took off and left, but they rather live with Lakota because we weren't like the people they came from, you know. So when people are killing babies out there, killing, you know, going around like some guy from Guatemala or whatever, went over and picture with some Las Vegas dancers. They told him no, so he whipped out a knife and started stabbing them. You know, what kind of creep is that? You know, too much Spaniard blood. You know, because the Spaniards really took over Mexico, Central America, and down there, you know. And that's why they have so much wicked kinds of murders and stuff, because they got a lot of Spaniard blood in them. Because if they had indigenous blood, they wouldn't be doing that stuff. Anyway, you know, I just wanted to mention a little bit about that. But real quickly, I wanted to, and you know what? I'm going to tell you what, you guys, Philip, and I can see Wayne's over here too. You know, your lines are open. You know, I tell you that right now. Your lines are open. You know, so right now, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I seen this video that Philip shared with us on voting, you know, and it's a bunch of young people in a video, you know, even, you know, giving each other fists or whatever they call it. They don't like to use that, giving fists. Sounds kind of bad. But, you know, talking about voting, And it's an American promotion to get Indians to vote. They get these young idiots out there. Oh, I vote for education for my children. I vote because water is sacred. And one guy said, I vote because our warriors fought for us and gave us the right to vote. To vote? Our warriors fought for us to vote for them Americans? You know, there's nothing that we can do, no voting we can do to get any help from the Americans. None whatsoever. Look at just a few years back, what were they doing? You know, remember Standing Rock? They were dragging people out to sweat lodges and teepees and everything. They didn't have no respect for our spirituality. They say we have a religious freedom. Hell if we do. We don't have religious freedom. You know, 3 years ago, a lot of cops in Rushville chased a guy into a church, Lakota guy. He ran in there for, you know, sanctuary, and the cops tased him right at the door, then gunned him down, you know, and then told the priest, oh, he was going in there to kill you guys, you know. So the priest and the whole church honored those cops for saving their life. You see, why are we going to vote for people like that? Why are we going to vote for them? Why? What gives these idiots, especially these young ones, and a lot of them are women, like, you could look at them and hear how they talk. They probably don't know one word of their own language. They probably know nothing about their own culture. Maybe they're powwow dancers, you know. But if you're into your own culture and your own way of life, you know damn well the Washitu isn't our way of life. You know damn well anything we do for them is only for them. And when we join their military, it's only for them. It's one more gun they carry against us. When we join their police force, it's only one more badge against us. You see, anything you do for them, say you want to be a judge, is that a good thing? How about that woman, our first Native American in outer space? What the hell? Our first Native American in outer space. You know, crazy. She's American, all right. I don't know about the other part. She's an American. She's not one of us. She's in that cult, you know. And to say she's the first one in outer space, how do they know that? From what we know, is our people already been there. They found moon rocks on our ghost dancers, you know.
They tried to arrest the
It's all gossip. It's all propaganda. Anyway, I commented on there, and right away they took me off. And, you know, anyway, I don't care. The minute an older guy like us say something to all the young people, them young people, like this one Maggie Dodd, I forget her name, some Indian woman on Facebook, she's really being a Facebook warrior, get telling people to vote, get out the vote and all that. And I said, man, I never voted in my life. She said, you're a disgrace to our people. You're the kind of people that we don't need in our culture. Rah, rah, rah. She started saying that, you know? You know? You know? What the hell was her? And then here goes the AIM leader. Oh, I got nothing but mad respect for you, telling her that. Oh, I got nothing but mad respect for you. These guys, after any woman that shows up after them, you know, trying to snag him, that's his favorite line. I got nothing but mad respect for you. Well, he ain't around no more, you know. I'm sad to say, you know. But, you know, that ain't how it is. First of all, You know, I ain't got mad respect for nobody I don't know, you know. My people that I know, my relatives and all that are people, you know, raised with and all that. I can say I respect that. But they jump on they jump on how many friends they got. If you got 5,000 friends, you're a bigger celebrity than someone has 500 friends. On Facebook, nobody can be a celebrity. On Facebook, a nobody can turn into a journalist overnight. You know, I'm reporting. You know, doing those live videos. You know, I'm reporting. You know, live here in Rapid City. You know, I'm reporting right here in Albuquerque. You know, and you know they turn overnight journalists, but you know, that's good to feel proud of yourself. But you know, once you're going to speak for the people, if you're going to speak for us, if you're going to speak for our culture, and you're going to speak for us, make sure you got it right. Don't be passing on gossip so somebody else passed to you. Make sure you know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Don't come over here tell this. Oh, 2,000 years ago, our people did this. How the hell you know that? You know, when you don't know nothing else. You know, you see them on Facebook all the time. I even had people come on this show and start trying to preach about stuff, and they don't know nothing about it. When you start peeling, like I said, once you start dropping their drawers, they disappear, don't come back. You know, when you come around and you want to talk for our people, make sure you got it right. Make sure you just ain't spreading Facebook gossip. Make sure you ain't spreading CNN or Fox News gossip. Make sure you ain't spreading Yahoo gossip. Make sure you know what you're talking about, because most of the people out there, I seen a video of them talking about a Sundance, and they had these people's first time Sundance, 1 year Sundance, and they're talking like they knew the whole history of the Sundance. And the Sundance they were trying to represent was ran like a Lakota Sundance, but no Lakota was running it. And they were talking about coming here 10,000 years ago. And all that stuff. You see, if you're a real native indigenous person, you know damn well we didn't come from China. You know damn well we didn't cross that ocean, but we went over there. You know damn well we were created. We came from the stars. We came here, you know, and that's how it is. Anyway, anybody wants to jump in? You want to, Tanashi, go ahead, Tanashi, go ahead.
What's the name? You know, speaking of this election stuff, you know, how long ago was it that the governor of Arizona, it was a few years back, whatever the Navajo Nation is, they invited him to a meeting because it had to do with the Native people. And he got a lot of the Navajo votes. That's how he got into office. Native Americans pushed him into office. So in return, they called him back to help him with the issue they had. Well, he came down, and during the meeting, he told them, he said, I'm here out of courtesy. He said, I'm not here because you guys are constituents. He said, remember, he said, you guys might have got me in office, but you guys are ward of the government. He said, I don't have nothing to do with you guys. See? Now, look at all these residents. You talk about these people, elections. South Dakota is a good example of that. They redline all those natives, all the Lakota people. We're the majority in South Dakota. But why is it we can't get a Lakota in the governorship or any one of these attorney general, anything, any kind of position of power? Because they know how to gerrymander. They know how to split these Indians up to where their vote don't count. See? So it seems like the Washitas are majority, but they're not. See, but they split it up.
Yep.
They know how to do that, these Washitas, because it's their system. And yet they want us to vote. And like the guy said in the Navajo territory,
they know how to make it look good, too.
They make it look like it's legit, you know. And it's a big old
because
lie.
Look, they put Bruce Whalen from Pine Ridge, you know. He was raised as a Mormon, you know. Bruce Whalen, though, ran on the Republican ticket. And they made it look like he had 70,000-something votes. But they made sure he didn't win. Mm-hmm. But they did that to get more Indians involved, you know. And once they get us involved, once we all get involved with them, and then they got our land, then they're going to take our rest from us. Then that's why if we accept money for the Black Hills, our people for some reason won't take that money. And when our people agree on something like that, I call it must be Wakan. Why is it that we won't take that money? I ain't telling Tosh, you don't take the money. He's not telling me. Nobody told my mother. Nobody told him. But none of us, for some reason, won't take the money. Because Wakan Tonka's in our heart telling us, don't do that. But then you got some people trying to coerce or promote or this and that, you know, to take that. But if we ever took money for the Black Hills, it wouldn't even be worth it. Because by the time you split the money up that they gave us, it would just be pennies or whatever. Yeah, and once we do that, we don't. Yeah, once we do that, we sold our ass, and we don't have a homeland no more. And once we don't have a homeland, they're going to come take our reservations and boot us out. Then we're going to be homeless just like we live in another country someplace. We'll be as homeless like they moved us to Pakistan or something, or moved us to Africa or someplace else where we don't have nothing. Right now, they can't do that to us because we ain't made no deals with them. And if we make deals with them, we're done for. And these other tribes, I heard other tribes say, well, the Black Hills don't belong to us. I heard other tribal Indians say that. We have our own religious stuff. Yeah, you do. But, you know, we represent all the tribes. If we give up what we got, they're definitely coming after what you got, you know? These people should be standing with us, supporting us, and some do.
Honestly, that goes back to what we talked about, these votes. These people talk about voting. You know, I've yet to see any one of these presidents. There was even a Black president, but he didn't help. He could have made a big difference in Standing Rock, but he's a chicken shit, so he didn't do it, you know, because he's a white man. He's a Black white man, you know, and that's how these people are. See, the voting system that they say, we're a democratic society. Look at this white man that almost tore that down here not too long ago, you know, and they're still bellyaching about it. He still didn't go to jail for it, you know, they want us to vote. They want us to, in these elections, you make a difference. You know, the way I look at it is we put these guys, these Washitas in office so they could steal more of our land, more of our leases. They have never, none of these Washitas has ever, ever given us a damn dime for all the minerals that they stole. Even the gold in the Black Hills, that belongs to us, but they're sitting on it, claiming it. They never gave us, they never paid us nothing for it. They don't even share anything with us, but yet they want people to vote for me. And yet we're not considered what the Washitas call a constituent. In other words, we don't matter to them. So no matter how we vote, no matter Which way you vote, it doesn't make a difference. All they're doing is using you to get in the office so they could represent Washita. That's all it is. And I don't know about how all these other tribes and stuff think, but think about that. When you vote, if you live on a reservation, if you live on a prison camp that they created, your vote, all it is getting that Washita man in there to work against you. That's all it is. That's how Janklow was hated so much by the Indians. But yet he always got back in office because he was an Indian hater. And that's why they kept him in there, so he could keep stealing the land, keep making laws to come after us, to minimize us. We're the landlords. What's wrong with all these Indians trying to vote? You vote don't count. They'll never do nothing for you. No matter, they won't even buy your kids shoes, nothing. They won't even give you a diaper for your kid. But yet you're out there voting for them.
You see, these Indians crack me up. They vote for our tribal president and stuff, and our tribal president won't even buy them no shoes. So how voting for a Washita going to get some shoes, you know? You know what I mean?
You know, they owe us rent. They owe us rent from the time they landed up to this day. But have they ever given any Indian a fair shake? Like even these casinos now that these Indians have. Now the white man's getting involved in that, see? Now they want that because it's a moneymaker. So these Indians ain't going to be making the bank they're making. They're going
to
be hurting.
Arnold Schwarzenegger threatened to shut down some casinos because he wanted half the money.
Oh,
well, remember
he got a quarter of all profits from these casinos in California because he said he was going to shut them. He had no right to do that. But yet, the Indian Gaming Commission, you know, another white entity, you know. They're the ones that were so afraid of Schwarzenegger. If I dealt with them, I'd tell them, F off, you know. Go suck eggs somewhere, you know. But yet, the Indian Gaming Commission gave to him and gave him a quarter of all the earnings. Not half, but a quarter, you know.
Woo!
The state of California has never lifted a finger to help any native on a reservation. Never. But yet they want a quarter of the money? Come on. You know, something stinks there, you know. But yet these Indians are happier in hell. Oh, you know, shit. We're a sovereign people. We inherited our rights from our grandfathers, their forefathers, way back. But yet, look at these guys trying to vote. They vote this Washita so they can steal my land, you know. Come on, get real. Washita's never given us a fair shake anywhere. Look at Standing Rock, our water. Now look at Nestle's or what do they call it, that bottling company? You know, they're up there in Canada. Indian water. And they're fighting them for it.
That video I'm talking about, you look at it, it's only young people talking. Young people, not old people. Only young people, you know. So they go out there and they get the young people to turn against the old people like they did me, you know, turn against old people and tell the old people, oh, you're a disgrace to our people, you know. That's what they do, you know. And we're just telling them, hey, we're just telling them the truth. Well, if you join in with them, then you join in with them with everything. Well, if you join in with them, then that means you're joining in with them when they go bomb somebody. When you join with them, you join with them when they're over there robbing the high seas, confiscating Iranian ships full of oil. You know, they're stealing. The United States steals, but they make it look like it's legal. They go right here in this country. They pull you over with more than $10,000 on you. They'll take it from you. They'll take your money from you. They'll say, oh, we suspect you of having drugs. That's all they need to say, and they can take your money from you. And they're starting to be that way. You know, you better watch out if you're using PayPal, too, because PayPal's starting to rip people off.
The Navajo Nation, all the gas and oil they took out of that territory, what you said earlier, that's what they did there. They used the young kids that they tortured in school and made them chiefs. That's how they stole all that. They totally ripped the Navajo Nation off, you know. But they used the kids to do it, the ones that were in these boarding schools. They made them chiefs because they couldn't speak the Navajo language.
Wow.
That was the excuse they used, and they stole all that oil. They gave them not even pennies on a barrel, you know.
And yet, can't even get water. They can't even get water in a lot of their communities, but they're the biggest, highest American United States voters. And they're the biggest, you know, like when the Washington Redskins, that guy, that Snyder guy, went and brought in a bunch of Navajo elders and gave them corn dogs on the stand and Washington Redskins jackets, and they were out there all proud to eat corn dogs and say they had nothing against the Redskins' name, you know.
Show the corn dog up there.
Give him all things. Give him a corn dog. It should have at least been popcorn or something. Not looking so gross, you know. But you see what I'm saying? And they do that just like Navajo Code Talkers. They're all proud about that. Well, they're proud about it. But why ain't they got water in their country? Why ain't they got water up there? Them Navajos are suffering bigger than anything with lack of water. They got the biggest AIDS epidemic, up there. They have a lot of issues, you know. They got federal judges that are Navajos. They got attorneys. Some of the major law and order people in the country are Navajos. And look at all the Navajos in Arizona, and they got someone like John. They had John McCain and all them racist senators. You know, with that big of a population, they shouldn't have no Indian haters on the Senate and all that.
Yep.
Just like us, how do we get Kristi Noem as governor of our state?
Yeah.
You know, when, like you said, the Lakota is supposed to be more majority, but we got the most racist state, like they call it, the Mississippi of the North, because our people sold out. You know, I remember my aunt, she ran around and helped Tom Daschle's. They ran at buses. She went around and drove, picked up Indians all day and all night to go to the polls and vote for Tom Daschle. After Tom Daschle got in, he never showed up. He just disappointed the hell out of my poor old aunt, you know? You know? And that's why I didn't get involved with her. I said, I ain't going in that van to vote for no Peckerwood. You know, I told her that, you know?
Yeah.
And she felt bad, you know? One time they wanted me to vote against having ex-felons on the tribal council, you know? I said, why should I vote against having an ex-felon on when I'm an ex-felon?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, if you're voting for that, then you're not forgiving your own people. That means you gave up hope on your people that they can't be good people. Yeah, some of us go to prison.
You're looking at
I don't say I committed a crime. I didn't commit a crime against my people, maybe the American government, but you know what? I don't regret what the hell I went for, but you know what? I tell you what, I didn't do that no more. I went through a little phase in my life, you know? I didn't do that no more, and I haven't been in prison since the last felony I committed, you know? You know what I mean?
I haven't been in prison since I got it.
In other words, if I would have If I vote, I'm saying that our people can't change. You know, and we can, you know, our people, sometimes we commit crimes, we get in trouble. But it don't mean we're like that all the time. We're like anything else, man. You get your burn your hand, you don't do it no more, you know? You know? And then another thing is we tell our kids, hey, don't do that, man. Don't go in there. Don't go to prison. You'll be in there with all them Hossuppas and Washichu, and you'll turn into a perv in prison because you ain't got no women. And all you can do in there is, what's that big word my brother said on the radio one day? You know, all you can do is Wolf Willie, you know? So why do you want to go to prison? You know, why do you want to go to prison? Stay out of that place. We tell people, stay out of that place. Don't go there, you know? But they want us to be against our own kind. But they won't let ex-felons be on the tribal council. And one guy was an ex-felon because some guy was crawling in his daughter's window, and he went outside and beat the hell out that guy with a stick and went to prison for beating the guy going to rape his daughter. And look at Russell Means. They wouldn't let him become tribal president. They said he was an ex-felon. Why was he an ex-felon? He was an ex-felon because he was defending our people in Custer. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was fighting for our people and caught a beef, and
that was no crime.
You know, a bunch of Indians. But now they hold that against him. Now he's an ex-felon. You know, those guys are ex-felons because they're fighting for our people. You know, and you know. They got our people all screwed up, you know. Now a judge, before our judges used to be elderly guys, you know, uncles, grandpas, you know, or even some old cheese. Remember, what's her name over there in, I was trying to think of her name. Remember she was a judge there in Pine Ridge? Well, they had a couple women judges, you know.
Young man and Richard.
Yeah, young man, yeah.
It's a young man.
I mean, they didn't have no law degrees or stuff, but they were normal people, you know. You could go in there. They knew your family, you know. And one of my uncles was a judge in Rosebud, you know. I'm going to tell your mom. Oh. You know, just that was threatening enough, you know. Don't tell mom. You
know? Land you right out, quick.
Yeah, but because they knew our family. But now they got these law degree people there in our legal system's all screwed up. Yeah, our police department's all screwed up because,
Remember we talked about that. How it was explained to us about the older people, because they lived a long time, their bodies might not function like they used to, but their minds, because of all the experience they went through, that fog is gone. These young guys, their mind is still foggy because they didn't do nothing. And yet they want to lead people. You know, it doesn't make sense. That's how the Washichus destroyed us. See? That's how they do it. And these elderly people, a lot of them don't like sticking around because of that. The disrespect that these young kids have for these elderly. Like you were saying, the guy running around, young punks running around telling these older people they have to vote. Leave that old person alone. Let him make his own decision. Shit, he's lived two lifetimes of what you did. You know what I mean? Maybe three. But yet they want to control the Washichu-minded kids. No respect. That's the Washichu way of thinking. And I don't care who if they complain about me saying Washichus. Think about it. They brought a bastard language here. That's not like, huh? And then these kids learn it. Then look at how they disrespect these elderly people now. There's a 20-year-old dude trying to tell a 70-year-old dude what to do and how to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me, that's, you know, yeah, you know, that's bullshit. If anything else, that 20-year-old better have respect and listen to what that 70-year-old has to say. He might learn some, you know, but it's not like that today because all these educated, like I was saying, anymore, you need a college degree to go work at Burger King, you know, or McDonald's, you know.
Damn.
And they talk about education, you know. Come on, man. Then, you know, it just, look at who they tested it out on. It was the native kids. They, these
you know,
concentration camps, they set up, and now they're prominent universities teaching Washita kids, taking their money, you know, giving them degrees, teaching them how to steal, rob,
you know,
lie, cheat.
Years ago, I used to be able to go into prisons, and we used to do pre-release programs. I used to go to juvenile hall and talk to
yeah.
the youth because, you know, I've been there, done that. So I, you
yeah.
know, I used to encourage them not to do this and not to do that. And, you know, like one young kid was bragging about, he did a drive-by, you know. I said, you did a drive-by? He said, yeah. I said, you're just like a perv. Drive-by shooting is just like, you're low life like a perv. You go to prison, they'll kill you for being
yeah.
doing drive-by in prison, you know, because you're shooting at, you could kill kids and all that, you know.
Kids,
see, nobody there to tell them this stuff. But my point is this. Then they got the computer aids and all that, and they quit letting me go in there. I drove a school bus for 9 years, and then they, because of, they quit letting ex-felons drive school bus or whatever. And I couldn't go in prison. I couldn't go talk to the kids no more. But they get these educated people to be going to juvenile hall and talk to the kids. And these educated guys, what the hell do they know about prison? They read it in a book, you know. What do they know about drug addiction? What do they know about alcoholism? What do they know about violence? You know, what do they know about all this stuff? You know? But they nowadays they want a person with a piece of paper, you know, and with
yeah.
a clean record to be a voice for all these people. You know what I mean? And how do you do that? How can you be a voice when you don't know nothing but you're, you know? How are you a voice when you don't need, you know?
You know, Tanshi, that goes back to, you know, my brother Rick there. You know, he's from the Lakota speaker, he's a medicine man. But yet, these young kids, these young punks, told him that he has to have a degree in teaching to teach Lakota kids, Lakota language, you know. And they said that if he didn't get that, he couldn't teach on a reservation. So he had to take the class.
On a res.
On a res. And he himself is a medicine man. And these guys, they were trying to learn from him, say, can you record it so we could keep it on? They didn't know how to speak Lakota. But yet they were going to give him a degree in teaching Lakota? That's how far we've come, where these young punks want to control everything because of money. They're thinking just like these Washitus now, all of them. Vote, money, you know. Oh, you got to have this. That's what I say, you know. Is it our future generations, man, they look sicker than hell right now. Kuja on the head, thinking like the Washitus, you know. And that's why I said, a 20-year-old telling a 70-year-old how to be, what to do, you know. And the old man's just shaking his head. It's frustrating because these young guys, they want to control everything and be Washitu. And that's what's destroying us. You know, these Washitus, they don't care, like you said, voting. We're not constituents. We're just a vote. And the more of us that he could con to vote for him, the better it is, because he gets in there with our votes, and then he could represent his people, which probably he wouldn't have never got in if it was just him. So, you know, he's got more to gain than anything by using Indians. We don't gain nothing. We don't gain a god dang thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, here's these fools. Vote, election, you know, all this. Get in the office, run for it. You're smart. You got degrees. I don't care how many pieces of paper you have hanging on the wall. It'll never be compared to the Lakota language. People that know Lakota, I don't care how many pieces of paper you have hanging on the wall. Our communications with Hunkashla is wide open. That's the way it goes. You know, and so these guys that are trying to do these things, these younger kids, they better cut it out, man. Get educated in the Lakota way, not the Washita way.
Because
you're going to destroy yourself.
While I'm thinking, looking at these kids and these people talking on that video, looks like their parents are probably worse than them. Anyway, I want to let Philip and Wayne jump in. You guys, you know, what you think, what opinion you have on some of this stuff, you know.
Wayne
about our people. Yeah, Wayne, for joining the cult.
Okay, I'll tell you my opinion on that, too. And, you know, when you have the Wachichu telling you, you know, it's the government way, you need a degree to teach Lakota and whatnot. And say, for example, if your children speak Lakota, you know, the Wachichu and the Wachichu Department, U.S. Department of Education, they want to classify a kid speaking pure Lakota and teach the kids English. And they call it ESL in the school system, ESL, as English as a second language. You know, and, you know, it just shows you how dynamic and racist the system is itself. You know, Lakota should be taught in all schools there. You know, and it should be taught openly on every reservation. You know, native language should be spoken. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, why should a college course, for example, why should you pay money to learn Lakota? Why should you pay money, or government should pay money to learn Cherokee or any other native dialect? You know, they stole our land, okay? And taking a step back as far as, you know, finding moon rocks, you know, on ghost dancers and whatnot. You know, I was thinking about the colonizers itself and the Wachichu. You know, now, you know, it took 530 years for them to destroy Turtle Island, and now they're trying to find other planets. You know, if they were able to find Martians, the first thing the Wachita would do is try to put blonde hair on them and say, hey, let's make a colony here and try to convert Martians, too. It shows you how brainwashed it's as far as the colonial way goes, is trying to divert people into thinking a certain way, you know. They need to be more receptive to us rather than trying to use their racist system against us. You know what I mean?
You know, that's what they do. You know, just like, what, a couple of weeks ago, they shot a rocket into a asteroid.
Yeah.
You know? And me, I was thinking, what the hell? They don't know if that, they call it a rock, but maybe it was something with teeth and brain. They don't know that. You know, maybe that asteroid was Turin. They don't know that. You know, they shoot anything. Our people look at these things as sacred, you know?
Yep.
I mean, when I see a comet, when I see those comets, I used to go out there with my chalupa and pray and thank them for letting me see them. Thank them for giving me the privilege of praying, you know, underneath them, you know, thanking Wakan Tonka for giving them to us, you know, to have something up there. But here's the Wachichu want to shoot them down. Here's the Wachichu wanting to, like they kill mountain lions, you know? They kill everything that, there's only supposed to be a certain number of bear in this country. If it exceeds that, they say, go ahead and kill them. You know, they're killing everything. On the res here, there's hardly no coyotes. There's a lot of prairie dogs, though, because there's nothing out here to eat the prairie dogs. Even eagles, we see eagles left and right. Now you only see them once in a while. I mean, you know, I used to see them every day, but you see a lot, you know. And, you know, they're killing everything. They're killing all of our animal relatives, bears, mountain lions, bobcats, anything that they fear, they will kill. And that's what they're doing, you know. They're killing humans, you know. Yeah. Did you see that video, Toshi? This guy sitting in his car with his girlfriend eating a hamburger, and a cop walks up there and says, get out the car. The guy says, what? You know, and he's taking a bite of his hamburger, and the guy, cop pulls a gun on him, and the guy lets go of his brake. Somehow his car went in reverse, and that cop just started shooting the hell out of the car. And so the kid just put it in gear and hauled ass out of there, but he got shot up, you know. That's how the cops are. They're trained to be that way. They're trained to be killers, you know. They're killing everything out there. I mean, there should be a shame in killing people and then going home and having dinner with your wife and kid, you know, talking about how good of a citizen you are. But, you know, it's really wicked.
They're trained to be
the American color. And it's messed up. You just look at the news. You just look at the news and you see all kind of crazy stuff you don't want to see. And these are the influences that people have. You know, those young kids dressing up in SWAT gear, running around shooting up people, you know. You know, like I said, you know, and when you're mixed with another culture, you know.
And they grew up with that.
You know,
they're still loving.
You know, it's just like I said at the beginning of the show. How can a Mexican kill a baby? He's supposed to be indigenous. Yeah, I mean, well, I tell you how he can kill a baby, because he's too much Spaniard. He's got too much Spaniard in him, you know. And you know, when you have a killer bloodline in you, sometimes it's hard to get rid of that, you know.
And, the murder type dumb.
But Dahmer
blood.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, look at Jeffrey Dahmer. That's cool.
It's crazy how these Washitos really think, like you're saying, it's European people. You know, it doesn't matter what it's a European country. They're all like that. Like that asteroid you was talking about. They shot it. Now they said there's over 60,000 pieces of it that they're worried about. Now instead of that one, now there's a bunch of pieces are still coming. You know, what does that tell you about their thinking? All they want to do is kill, destruction. They don't think about the consequences, you know. Was just flying. One time, this Earth, that's what this Earth was. It was just an object flying in the air. Nobody bothered it. You know, why are they so worried about a planet flying through the air? You know, leave it alone. It's Wakanda. That's Wakanda. That belongs to Wakanda. Who are you to try to kill it, you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people? White people are destructive, man. I mean, evil. Like
you know. The other day, man. Check this out. The other day, a border agent killed an immigrant detainee inside the detention center. He just gunned him down. Well, of course they're going to make a justification for him, you know. But he gunned them down, and I was reading the comments underneath the article, and all these white people, how they were saying, yeah, he got what he had coming. You know, he should have been trying to come into our country. He should have, you know, all these comments were praising this border agent for killing an unarmed detainee. You know, and I made a comment on there. You know, I never got back to it, but I said, you know, he just made Americans great again. You know, whenever you guys kill a person of color, you think that's making America great, you know? And, you know, I just made a short comment, headed out, you know? But, see, that's,
America now,
that's
you know,
the
what it is.
Attitude they have when they shoot people of color, when they shoot people, detainees or whatever, they have the attitude that it's all right and it's good, you know? But the thing about it, they're saying, talking about the that these immigrants, these Mexicans and stuff, are committing crimes. They come over and commit crimes. When you look at the federal prison system, they have about almost 100,000 white guys locked up in federal prison. Then they have like 70,000 blacks locked up. And then they have like 20-something thousand Mexicans. And then they have like 20,000 or something others, you know, Asians, and where they consider Native Americans others, you know. But the greatest number of prisoners in this country are white people, not Mexicans, not illegal immigrants. They're white people, invasive species. They're not, and then the black people are next. You know, black people committing all these crimes, you know, wicked stuff they do too, you know. And white people don't like that, but they're, you know, like, of course, you know, they brought them over, you know. They brought them over because, you know, we're no good. The thing about an Indian, we're not good slaves because we know how to wachinko. and you know, wachinko means we're good powders. Ain't that right, Toshi? We know how to powder. You know, if they piss us off and try to make us be a slave for them, we ain't gonna be a slave. They could put a gun to our head, anything they want. We ain't gonna work for them, cause we'll pout. Once the Indian pouts, you ain't getting nothing out of this. Even shoot us, we don't care, you know, because that's how we are, you know. That's something about our DNA is you get us mad, we don't care about your money. We don't care about your death threats or nothing. Just kill us. If you want us to do something for you, you got to have some respect and be nice to us, you know. We're good workers when people are nice to us, you know. We do good work, Indians, you know. We do, you know, we make things. If we're going to shine something up, we're going to shine it up better than somebody else, you know. We work on cars, we do better job than them. Anything we do,
damn
we do
straight.
Good with pride. Yeah, we do it with pride, you know.
Yep.
But if you get us mad, you ain't getting nothing out of this, man. You know? I mean, this guy was burning me, trying to disrespect me at work. So I quit. He offered me $500. He said, here, I'll give you $500. I said, show it up your ass. Man, he was shocked that I told him to do that. You know, because here I'm a poor Indian. Why am I, you know, like, but I didn't care about money. When Indian pouts, man, we don't care about money. We don't care about nothing, you know. We don't care about your damn apology either. Apology is just one of your fancy-ass words. What we care about is remorse, which they don't have, apparently, you know. Since when? Do they have remorse? Do they have remorse for what they did to us? Hell no. Right. And we're going to vote for them, you know? You know, why should we vote for somebody that don't have no remorse, you know?
Hey,
Jennifer, how are you doing, Jennifer?
Good evening. Good.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm good.
Hi.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
How's everything going over there?
Fine.
You know?
It didn't sound like everything's going fine the way you said that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a sea of people here that are just like zombies on fentanyl and crap and in Columbus Indigenous Day is coming up and all that stuff, and it seems like people are still clueless about that coming. And
yeah,
I kind of get it, but then we're Indigenous every day, so I don't get that either.
Yep, that's what we are, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We live, you know, we don't need a special day for that, you know. You know,
yeah,
what do you think about what I said? What do you think about what I said, Jennifer, about how the reason why they can't use us is because we're good powders?
You know, that's true.
When an Indian pops, you ain't getting nothing out of us. You know, that's why they couldn't use us to be those slaves, you know, because we're all right for a while, you know. But the minute we pop, man, you ain't getting nothing out of us, you know. You know.
I think that's funny, but it's true.
It's just like my brother. He can really pout, huh, Larry? You know?
Yeah. He's doing that.
So when you get that. Yeah, Larry, once Larry goes, that means nothing coming out of him, you know?
Listen to him out again.
Yeah. Nothing coming out of my brother when once he goes, you know? You know?
Hey,
send him to the room. You don't care.
Something I thought that was pretty crazy. You know, this gas and oil shortage or whatever. Now they're trying to kiss Venezuela's ass. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
You know, and then they talk about OPEC, oil producing whatever energy countries or whatever the heck it goes by. America is these Washitos are ahead of that. They make it sound like all these other countries are OPEC. America's ahead of that. You know, what does that tell you about these lying people, these lying Washitos? You know, they have all these people, these Washita people believing that OPEC is a foreign thing. It's these Washitos. They want big bucks. You know, they want a profit. That's why they're doing it.
I don't know, but hey, hold on. Now I have to beg to differ with you on that, because the United States is not part of OPEC. Russia, Saudi Arabia, and all those other countries are part of OPEC. Has nothing to do with the United States.
That's
absolutely nothing to do with the United States. What it has to do with, what part of it does have to do with the United States, is foreign policy. Now, the United States has screwed these guys over.
They're the head of it.
No. The Saudi Arabians are the head of OPEC. Russia isn't even in charge of OPEC. Now, them rat bastards are the ones that are actually responsible for 9/11. So what I'd like to know is, why are we still playing games with those people?
Why are we still playing games with the
Saudi Arabians?
OPEC is America. That's what it is.
Now, Philip, you're saying we. Why are we?
We.
Well, who are you talking about, we?
The Washitos people. OPEC. Who else? Who's got the money?
You know, we.
That's, you know.
I ain't got nothing to do with we.
Why are they still playing around with them? They're killing freaking reporters, man. The Saudi Arabian police ordered that reporter to be murdered.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Saudi Arabia has bought
money.
The U.S. Wasichu bought them out. I understand that. That's why they get away with what they do, going bombing Yemen and all the stuff. They use American jets to go bomb Yemen and all that, having a public execution and stuff. It's their culture and all that stuff. I understand that. But the one thing is it's going to turn back on everybody. It's going to turn back. I can see it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can see that the American and Saudi Arabia are on thin ice with each other. They can't play nice guy to each other too much longer. And Saudi Arabia can't play their game too much longer elsewhere either, because there's other countries over there that they're trying to stop from existing, like Iran and all them. And like I said, on this radio show right here, I had a guy out there, what are you doing over there? And we're over here working on a nuclear facility. Whoops, right now. You know, there's stuff going on that nobody knows about, you know. And you know, I, in my little brain, don't know everything that's going on. I mean, I cannot say Iran is a bad person, and I can't say Iran's a good person, because I don't know. But I do know, for some reason, they ain't scared of shit. And when someone ain't scared of nothing, it tells me there's more going on than what meets the eye, you know? Mm. It's just like North Korea. Look at that little, they say, poor country. The American propaganda talks how weak and the North Korea government is, you know. But for some reason, they're a powerhouse over there. They said that about Cuba for 50 years. But Cuba withstood everything and still had free health care and all that. There's things that going on in this world that the American propaganda doesn't answer, you know. They can't explain why all this is coming down. Why is this? Why is that? How, if North Korea is so ignorant, how the hell are they existing? Syria, the president of Syria speaks English pretty damn good. You know, that guy didn't do no wrong to nobody. But the Americans use their propaganda to get people to join in with them, you know? And if we don't watch ourselves, Philip, we'll be saying we. Well, we ain't got nothing to do with them. And I don't care what the hell, you know, what the hell the United States does with Saudi Arabia. I don't care. Because this country, the United States, is over here doing bad stuff to us right now. And what they're doing is getting our young people to join in with them. They're getting people, they're feeding people all this propaganda about everything that's going on in the world, you know, blaming, making it sound like they're the good guys, the Americans. They got our Indian people out there promoting the book.
They're far from it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why they're far from it. Instead of paying what they owe our people, according to the treaties, they're sending money over there and sending weapons over to Saudi Arabia, selling them weapons. They're perpetuating the wars. They're perpetuating them.
Yep.
And of course they're going to... Of course, now they're going to be kissing Venezuela's ass, and by rights they should, considering the fact that they're the ones that destabilized that country to begin with, Mr. Ronald Reagan.
The oil. All the oil they get here in America.
Yeah, listen to people. You know, I was in Walmart, and I met a guy from the Ukraine yesterday in Walmart, you know. And, you know, I played dumb, and right away he was talking, you know, about how great the American is. And I told him, I said, you know how I spell American? He said, how? I said, with three Ks. He looked at me. I said, this country that you praise is a bunch of evil suckers. I said, you're standing on my land. And you're supporting this wicked regime that took this land. You see, when they don't know what the hell's going on, the outside world, they don't realize how America has what they done to us. And they don't care what they done to us because it's far from the back. In the way in the back of their mind until they come over and actually meet an Indian, a native, you know. They don't know. The whole world doesn't know what's going on, how wicked the country is to our people, you know. They don't know, like at Standing Rock, when they're dragging people out of sweat lodges. You know, that's like dragging a person out of a Catholic church, you know.
Yet they put it in
you know,
colors.
You know, the whole thing is they don't, nobody knows this, Philip. Nobody knows this stuff outside. We're just such a tiny voice. We're a small voice. And we're getting smaller when they get our own people to join in on their voting and supporting them, you know. Look it, they can't even handle a hurricane. You know,
yeah.
They have no business parking their big ass houses and yachts out there where in hurricane country. What kind of brains is that? You know, they put us on the rest and locked us in here. We can't run like we used to. We used to be able to move. When bad weather came, we could go to the Black Hills or go to Buffalo Gap or go someplace else. But we can't do that now. But at least we're smart enough, like me, when it's windy season, I'll park my semi over on this side of the trailer house so the wind don't blow my trailer house away. We use a little strategy, you know what I mean? But those Washichu, they ain't got no strategy. They just keep... They build their houses on the cliffs of Malibu. Who the hell's that stupid?
Yeah.
It takes one earthquake and they're gone. And erosion is already setting in and collapsing a lot of stuff. But you can't tell these brilliant, intelligent race of Americans how to live. But they sure know how to cry when the shit hits the fan. You know, they sure know how to cry to the government, you know. And
yeah, what I think
Biden
is ridiculous is that they have to be told when the situation's that bad that they have to leave. You know, and then
they don't
you still
leave.
Got them. Yeah, then they don't leave. And it's like, and they sit there on TV crying, oh, the hurricane destroyed all our stuff. And, well, you should have left. Should have left. You knew it was coming. Everybody's got TV. Everybody has the Weather Channel. Oh, the floods came. Well, why are you living in a flood zone?
You know,
that's what made us smarter. Is we would move out of areas. You know, okay, it's this time of season, time to not stay here and move over to this area.
Yeah, it's rainy season, so we're going to move here. Now it's snow season, so let's move over here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they locked us in where we're stuck where we're at. But even though we're stuck where we're at, we still use strategies to defend our houses and stuff. The other thing is the value of our life, of what we have, when we lose it. I mean, our people are humble. You know, something blows our house down, we'll go ahead and set a cardboard box up there or something else, you know, build a little structure, and we'll start from there. We ain't ashamed to live in hell. You know, come to my house and they walk in, people from out of state or something, and they say, wow, you know, and you look at their houses, nice furniture, nice this and nice that. They come in my house, you know, they think, damn, this guy's a poor guy, you know. But I'm not poor. I got everything they have, you know.
Yeah,
it's
poor
just
by
in
whose standards?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, they might have a garage with nice a piece of wood, but, you know, Natasha built my garage out there with 50 different colors of wood, and you know, you know. But the car is parked in there, you know, and you see, they don't want to live like that. I was looking at those houses that the hurricane wiped out. Man, nice furniture. The house is filled up with ocean water, and you know, nice furniture, nice electric stoves, nice this, nice that. Why are you gonna live like that when you live in a hurricane place? I wouldn't gamble with that. You know, I would say, man, the hurricane might hit, so we better not put that in there. You know. I'll just have a little shack. Matter of fact, I'll move out of there. If I'm doing so well enough, I'll move out of there. I'll put my mansion. If I got money for a mansion like they got, I'll go move someplace else up in Tennessee mountains or something, you know. But they want to live like that. They're too stupid. They're so possessive. They don't want to give in. And now, how are they going to restart over? They're going to beg. They're going to sue. They're going to do everything they can to try to regain the status they had. But it's over for most of them, you know. It's just the American is so into worrying about bombing other countries. They ain't even paying attention. Like when that hurricane started coming, that, you know, the news is pretty accurate. It says, yeah, here it comes. It's going to hit that landfall at 12 o'clock or whatever. And it did.
Yep.
They got time to pack their bags and get the hell out of there. I would have loaded up whatever I could, you know, and started getting the hell out of there. You know, I only keep what. It's just like when my house caught on fire. I lived up there, and it caught on fire, my trailer house. The first thing that happened in the morning, actually, I kind of started it because I started the wood stove, but it wasn't fixed up in some hot coals up in the stovepipe caught fire up there, you know. Anyway, my trailer house started burning. The first thing I did was grab my coffee pot, ran out with that because I was drinking coffee, grabbed my guitar and my chanupa, and parked it up on the side of the hill. Then piece by piece, I started grabbing whatever music equipment that was most important down to the less. And then my bro that was living with me, he ran up, and he he grabbed his powwow gear. That was what was important to him, you know. He grabbed his powwow gear. And then from there, you know, yeah, that was Bob, you know. Bob was staying with me, so he shot up right away. He braved the fire and grabbed his powwow stuff, you know. And next thing, I was sitting on the side of the hill sipping coffee when the fire truck came playing guitar while they were putting my fire out. You know? No. And that was it. I wasn't out crying, screaming. I said, well, at least I got this much out. You know, right away, an Indian knows how to accept some kind of defeat and some loss.
Yes.
Without losing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Tears.
I said, that big bass amp's in there, but what can I say? I can't hold that out, too, you know.
Yeah.
But I got my coffee pot. I got my coffee, so I was sipping coffee, playing guitar, watching this. And I had my chalupa next to me and my sundae. I had a suitcase that I keep my sundae stuff in. I got out with that. These were more important to me than that bass amp, you know.
Yeah.
That $900 bass amp and those Fender twin reverbs I had, you know. You know, in other words, my coffee pot was more important than all that.
There you go, man.
Sitting there sipping coffee when the fire truck was up there and was putting a fire out. I was sipping coffee, you know. Oh, that's how Indians deal with it, you know. You know, then after that, right away started throwing out all the burnt stuff and clearing it out. And it took a while, but next thing I made the house livable again, piece by piece, you know. And, you know, I just accepted the loss. I didn't go on CNN or cry to the government or nothing like that. Didn't cry to nobody, actually. You know,
there's something that I was listening to NPR the other day. They were talking about the story was about the hurricane and the FEMA response to it. And I find it really sad that they're catering to the rich people. And the people of color, or the poorer people, aren't able to get any help. And the one woman that they were talking to used to work for FEMA, and she said that is how it is set up, that the most affluent are the ones that get the help first.
There's only one station, and it was set up in the richest part of town.
Hey, Tarshi, remember when those tornadoes hit Oglala? And came across, and we even got the effects in Porcupine. FEMA came to my house in Porcupine, you know. And I applied for FEMA, and here FEMA called my house deferred maintenance. Can you imagine that? In other words, my house was tore up before the tornado got there. So they call it deferred maintenance, so they wasn't going to help me. You know?
Oh, wow.
So I got into it. I wrote the head of FEMA, and I said, you know what? Call it what you want, but this little beat-up house is my mansion. I said, just like Elvis Presley's Graceland, just like the White House, just like your house, this house is my house. It's my mansion. And I take offense to you calling it deferred maintenance. Anyway, FEMA, they kind of liked my letter, so they – you know, they bought me a wood stove, and, you know, they helped me out and got me a fridge and stuff. You know,
right on.
But you know what? What happened in Oglala, all them houses got wiped out. They lost the whole town of Oglala, and you know how much the damage was? It was less than $1 million.
Yep. $400,000.
All these houses, that's how poor our people are. Our whole town got wiped out, and it was less than $1 million.
Yeah,
and FEMA was
talking
about that.
Yeah.
at that time, remember, Bill Clinton just happened to visit, showed up on the res. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So if it wasn't happened for the curve to the left showing up, or curve to the right, whatever that was, if he didn't show up, Oglala wouldn't got nothing. So Bill Clinton put all the FEMA trailers up over there. A little bitty trailer house is probably 20 feet long. Indians was happy with that.
Trailers.
Yeah. Indians.
Those were the ones that were government rejects that they dumped off.
Yeah. They were jumped someplace. But, you know, Indians don't care. Yeah, this is my mansion now.
They're still there.
But you see, that's the what is that? That fancy word they use, Tahashi. Or my brother Larry, what's that fancy word they use? Oh, resilience. Resilience.
Yeah.
That's Indians. We're resilient, you know. You know, wiped us out, gave us a little 20-foot trailer house, and we're happy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, park.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't bitch no more. Just give him a wood stove, and he's all right. Shut him up, you know.
There you go. easy to please.
You know. Yeah, easy to please, you know, Indians. But those at those guys at the hurricane place, they got to pay millions just for one family because they're claiming everything. Yeah. They're claiming their flower pots. They lost their flowers. You know, their canary flew off, you know.
The thing, too, is they can afford the insurance that will pay for all that stuff.
You know, the insurance companies backing out of that. They don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they're claiming bankrupt, some of them.
They headed out before the tornado hit. But, you know, going back to the, you know, these Washichus, the way they think, that's what I say. Muzzle Scott, you know, you could take his dog, you could take his wife, you could take his kids, you could steal his car. You know, he won't do nothing. But if you take a dollar of his, man, he'll go nuts, you know. So the Washichu, they worship money, you know. Money is their god. You know, that's they'll die for that dollar, you know. That's the Washichu way of thinking. And it's sad that, like Kershaw was saying, if you see a big old tornado goes through Oglala, see, if they were happy, just get a tent to live in, you know what I mean? So they could rebuild, you know. And that's how it goes with Indians.
This Hassapa was going to court for divorce with his wife, and he said, yeah, you can take the furniture, you can take the TV, you can take the poodle, you can take that Siamese cat I gave you, you can take everything, but don't F with the Cadillac. You can that take everything, but don't mess with my Cadillac. You know, that's mine. You know,
the pimp mobile.
You know, yeah. You know, don't mess with my Cadillac. You know, it's just like us. Don't mess with that old Oldsmobile we got in the parking lot. You know, don't mess with that Rez Bob. You know. Don't mess with my brother's red.
Somebody tries to unfix it.
Yeah, don't mess with my brother's red pickup. Don't mess with my brother's red pickup, or he'll come out and raise hell. You know. Just like remember, don't mess with the pickup.
Yeah, don't mess with my hairy elephant. leave my hairy elephant alone.
Yeah.
I don't say nothing about that guy.
So, but you know, people, people have their, they treat value in different ways, and Indians, we treat value way different. We can accept a total loss, you know, but as long as we walk away with something that was valued, like me, as long as I got out with my coffee cup and coffee pot, you know, I was there in my chalupa, I didn't care about nothing else, you know, and my car didn't run, but I took the blocks out the way and coasted it away from the fire, so at least my unworking car didn't burn because I let that one coast a little way from the house, you know.
Automobile, stayed on automobile.
Yeah. That sacred car me and my brother was working on.
The one that took off on you guys.
Yeah. We chased that car down the hill, and we tried to open the door, and here the doors locked by themselves. That car was headed straight for a telephone pole, and here the car drove right around the telephone pole with nobody in it. Boy, my brother was mad. My brother took his cap off and threw it on the ground. You know, and here the car bounced, and right before it hit the bank, it just stopped. It just stopped, you know. Yeah. So, wow, that was a strange experience. My brother. That was a hell of an experience. Shit, we worked on that car for 2 days, and all we were doing was taking away the... We're getting ready to take it on a spin. We took the bricks out that, you know, to stop the wheels, what do you call them? We took the bricks out too early. The car started rolling. Had the car in neutral or something, you know, took the bricks out, the blocks, you know. That car started rolling. We started chasing it, and all of a sudden the doors locked. One Indian on one side and one Indian on the other side. We were chasing that car.
He locked the doors on him. Dang.
Yeah. My brother said, that was my only ride to Rosebud.
How am I going to get back now?
Yeah, that's my only ride to Rosebud. My brother says, we've got all kinds of issues coming to the rest.
What did y'all say when you see it in the morning? What did y'all pull up?
What did Yamini say when he pulled up?
Yamini thought we had the car parked down there so we could change the oil because it was sitting up on the hill. You know, so we could crawl under it to change the oil. He thought we parked it like that so we could change the oil, you know.
Lindsay, you know, got away from the owners. That was one way
horse. Yeah.
We'll bring you back up later.
He passed by real slow, all strange, looking at us because, you know, he must have seen the stress. He seen the stress in all our face, you know.
Man. Damn.
We worked on that car for 2 days, you know. You know, but. That's the red life, you know. You know, and but like our values, yeah. The way we treat values way different than the Washutu, you know. You know, after that, how is it? We don't need a car. We'll just hitchhike to Rosebud.
You know, the Indians have a way different attitude, and when it comes to loss, you know, materialistic value. like I say, you know, think about this. We're what they call Wamakashka. That's all we are. You know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
That's, you know, that's who we respect and care for more than anything else. That's why, like, materialistic value doesn't have anything for us, doesn't do anything for us. We don't know how to handle it because we're exchange, Hasha, common man. The universe,
yeah,
and the university of the universe is more important to us than belongings. And how can you own something that you ain't gonna have in the future? You can't take it with you, but yet you claim to own it? It don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why animals only care about one thing, and that's to live, you know?
Yep.
And that's how we are.
Procreate.
We only care to live, you know? We only care,
yep,
to live. Nothing's more important than life and health, you know, and our relatives'
yep
life and health, you know? But
yep
the Washichu, what is important to them is their four-wheeler or their fancy
dishwasher.
Yeah, you know.
Fancy dishwasher.
They only care about
TV.
That. You know, our people can lose anything and just get up and go, you know. And,
you know, we're just common man, Kanshi. If you think about it,
yeah,
we before the Washichus ever came, we had a simple life, a beautiful, simple life, you know, spiritual way of
yeah
living. We respected all living things because the living things took care of us, so we took care of it, you know.
Yes.
And that's how it worked. We all took care of each other. And when the Washichus came, they destroyed everything.
That's why it's easy for us to be generous. You
yeah
know?
Yeah.
It's easy for an Indian to be generous because, you know,
can't take it
anything
with you.
We give away, we can get back. It will come back to us.
Yep.
You know? You know?
There's even,
like I said, I seen the medicine man. Yeah. I seen a medicine man, people give him gifts and he just spin around and give his gift to somebody else. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, because that's how we live, you know, we don't we're not materialistic like other people. And I appreciate that. You know, I like having some
yeah
some things, you know. I accumulated a few things since I've been here, but, you know, what can I say, you know? If I can't, if I have to, you know, I'll give it to somebody else or something, you know, pass it on, you know. And, you know, I can't think of anything more important to me right now than my chanupa, my sundat stuff, and my coffee pot. I still got my same. I had the same coffee. I had the same coffee mug for almost 20 years. Can you imagine that? The same coffee mug from the truck stop. Big giant coffee mug. I seen a video that I took. I seen a video that I took like about 15 years ago, and that coffee pot was sitting on mug was sitting on the table, you know. And
got 20 rooms on it.
The first thing I run out of the what's got 20 rings? What are you talking about?
Your coffee pot or your coffee
oh
mug.
Oh,
you're short.
yeah. Remember, we say that. You can tell how old a man is if he bends over because he's got rings in his butt. Each ring stands for so many years.
Hey, we're getting off track here, Crunchy. Hold on. Look. Get back to politics.
Thank you.
A young guy listening in, he's going to say, damn, man, is that true? He's going to be looking in the mirror. How many rings do I have at 22 years old? You know? Yeah. One big pink one.
Well, somebody probably do is take the trip themselves out tonight.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. We better shut up now. We're kind of getting off. You know? Kind of, or what's that other word?
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, once again, time's running out, but, you know, I like to thank people for tuning in. And also, you know, Wayne and Philip and all you guys, Jennifer and Layla, she's always here supporting us, and other people that come in. John Davis was on the chat, you know, and they hear us talking. People always hear us talking. And, you know, some people might get the wrong impression, and some people might get the right impression, you know. But the whole thing about it is, like you said, we're simple men. We're simple people.
Yep.
We live a simple life. We're not over here trying to use 10-mile-long words. We're not here trying to sound like the Washichu, Rush Limbaugh, or some, like I hear other Indians doing the radio show. They're trying to sound all professional.
The more big words they use, the bigger the lie.
And the other thing is they're not practicing indigenous way of life. You know, they should be practicing a word in their own language, or they should be practicing something, preserve their tribal culture.
Yep.
But they're like the American. They all want to be one, you know, one kind, you know. You know, we're different tribes. And we need to appreciate that, you know, and I appreciate it, you know. But with that, you know, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to run out with no time for last comments. But, Tanshi, you're going to have to, you can take us out, you know, lead us out.
Oh, I'll say a quick prayer and then we'll get it done. We chose on it to go to Mitakias.
Oh, and with that, we're going to have to go. And I thank you, Wayne and Philip, Layla, Jennifer, John Davis, and all those who tune in to us from around the world, across the country, and everything. Shouts out to you all. Blessings. And I said you all. I didn't say y'all. I said you all. You know?
Y'all.
You know, I ain't saying that, you know.
Bye,
a blessing to all of you. And take care. And dope shock, everybody. Let me see. What should I? I was going to play the song, but... let me see. Here's a song. I wanted to play. This mouse here that I'm working with. Oh no, I can't play that. That's a Lone Ranger song. almost put the Lone Ranger song on.